Okay, now let me finally move into the state of Illinois. Your state benefits from several world-class assets, resources. I mentioned Chicago, one of the world's great cities and the greatest city for the metro, the complex of the Great Lakes states. You have an unusually diverse economy balanced between manufacturing, agriculture, financial services, trade, high technology. Right now you have three of the world's great university campuses, the University of Chicago, Northwestern University, the University of Illinois at Champaign-Urbana, all classified as AAU, but more is needed. One of my good friends, former president of the University of Wisconsin, David Ward, later became president of the American Council on Education, is a demographer, and he made the point that his analysis suggests it takes a population of about 5 million people to support a world-class public research university. Wisconsin just happened to have 5 million people, and so only Madison could be that, of course, so there may have been some, incentive for that. Michigan has 10 million, we have two, Michigan and Michigan State. California has 37 million, so they have the University of California. You apply it to Germany, England, France, kind of the same. What about Illinois? You have 13 million people. You should have at least two, perhaps three AAU class public universities. You have the University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign. Chicago has two great private universities, but it desperately needs the culture and the contributions of a world-leading public urban research university. And that, of course, is the University of Chicago, Illinois. Put another way, what Chicago needs right now is a UCLA, okay? The economy of the state of Illinois can clearly afford it, and I think in your planning that has to be an objective. Now, Chicago needs a lot more than that. One of your professors, Barbara Ramsby, who was my friend during the days at Michigan when she periodically used to take over my office when I was president, sent me an email yesterday. She's a faculty member at University of Illinois, Chicago, making the point, and I think a very strong point, that the city of Chicago needs much more than this. It is characterized by great economic inequities, by violence, particularly among youth. It takes that engagement much more broadly. She also made another point that the importance, as you build these great universities, to recognize the importance of the humanities, the liberal arts, the social sciences. As she said it, the goal is to produce conscientious, compassionate world citizens that think critically with great cultural backing. I always used to tell entering students at the University of Michigan when I gave the freshman convocation, I would challenge them. I said, I got some good news and some bad news for you. The good news is it really doesn't make any difference what you major in at Michigan, because 5 years after you graduate, nobody's going to ask you again or care. The purpose of that undergraduate education is not to prepare you for your first job, but to prepare you for your last job. And that requires a liberal education in the broadest possible sense, including the arts and the humanities, the social sciences, the sciences, and I believe today a little dash of engineering as well. So, anyway, thank you very much for that. So the first point, the University of Illinois Chicago has an extraordinary opportunity and an extraordinary challenge to become a great urban university. At the state level, I think President Killeen has put out the adopt the state model. In a sense, your land grant culture of extension and engagement gives you the capacity to do that. You were created to provide the agriculture and mechanical arts, which during the 19th century were what people called engineering, to the state. You had a distributed capacity to do that, and you reclaim that for this broader agenda that the president has put out across a broad array of challenges and opportunities. Finally, the structural issues. As I say, you, like many institutions, I think are a little bit bound by overregulation at the level of the state. It's true that they support your wonderful pension program, although I'm not sure that's going to be viable much longer, just as the University of California is finding it's no longer viable. But I think that's something in your negotiations with the state you need to make every effort to relinquish. We're all facing the challenge of downsizing administrative activities. In a sense, you're a very unusual system, highly heterogeneous, with three quite different institutions, so it requires a different kind of system administration to handle that. But nevertheless, that's going to be a challenge to address. But coming back again, in summary, you have extraordinary assets, one of the world's great research universities in University of Illinois, Urbana-Champaign, which I think will be equaled by one of the world's great urban research universities by the University of Illinois, Chicago, a liberal arts regional college in Springfield, and so you have that kind of diversity. I also sense, this is the second time I met with your governing board, that your board of trustees is deeply committed to the future of these institutions and the future of this state. And I suspect it's a board that's clearly willing to act decisively to achieve the future that President Killeen has put out in front of you. Thank you very much.
Thank you, sir. Stimulating and challenging and offering lots of opportunities for us to include as we think. We have lots of time to open the floor to discussion, to questions, and we'd certainly like to take the opportunity to ask you some while we're here. I think we have microphones. I know there's one here. Are there others anywhere else?
These are movable.
Okay, they're movable. So let's open the floor to questions that you have relative to what's been proposed and discussed or other areas of interest that you have. So open the floor. Yes,
I have
Trustee Smart.
Two questions. They're kind of related. The first is when you were showing the funding that we have and how off the charts we are in terms of reliance from the state compared to the other universities. I don't think the other universities have the pensions in it, if I'm correct.
That's right.
So if we did an apples-to-apples comparison and took the pensions out, how would we compare there? And then kind of related to the money, but not totally, is how would you define where we are on the spectrum of autonomy? I don't really know totally that answer.
Great question. Well, Tim, you want to talk the first one first?
Christoph's probably here somewhere. He could give me the. But if you take out the pension side, that 33% drops by a factor of two. So we're not at the 2%, 4% Michigan numbers. We're at the 13%.
Okay.
And so that big bar, but we'll do that too. We can cut the data any way you'd like. I just wanted to be fully,
I
to recognize the total taxpayer support for the University of Illinois. It would take that bar and half it.
Okay.
And so it would bring it down from the top echelon into the sort of second quadrant, I would say. But we'll get you that. Well, the second question was on?
Was where are we on the spectrum of autonomy? Because what I heard from you is how important that is.
After having gone through procurements in my 8 weeks.
Okay, I know where this is headed.
If here is a spectrum, pretty tied up in terms of that. Many reports are mandated. There's a significant need for what we're calling regulatory relief, exactly along the lines that President Duesstadt was talking about. But it's got to be in return to something that we offer the state. So I would say that there are several things that we need relief on. One is that procurement often comes up. Civil service regulations, and there's a way to do it without lowering our absolute commitment to integrity and accountability as well. So these are things that were well-intentioned, but there was a burst of them that I think there's a general recognition that we are way over tied up. And it's a significant thing for faculty recruitment. There's a pension issue, too. The Tier 2 pension issue is not very attractive for incoming faculty, mid-career faculty. Significant problem there. So we need to work not just on the dollar issues, but upon the options that are available to. So I could go on, but I think in terms of the spectrum, we're pretty bound.
Go ahead. Were you going to add?
Well, I think most universities have defined contribution retirement programs, and the University of California is in the same boat that you are. They've had a long dependence on a pension program. a very generous pension program, but they are phasing that out very rapidly. They simply have to. Mm-hmm. They can't carry that burden, that risk.
I think as we've looked over the last few years, the realization that we all have is that over time that we've got to figure out how we deal with that. You know, I, just as a follow-up comment, I wrote down one of the many things that you said, but state molested, I thought that was that was interesting. It might be part of that transition.
I think Wisconsin and several other places would join me in that.
More questions?
I have a question. I think the comparison between the how our impact is for Illinois is great, from the $6.4 billion for our universities to one thing I want to know is, have we considered how we do it with the world in terms of our impact, particularly with our large alumni, and engaging them a little bit more?
I think that's a great question, and I think we need to really try to make that assessment. In terms of the intellectual product of University of Illinois over the years, the impact is astonishing. Just think about IT and web browsing, just one example. Agricultural innovation, use of fertilizers, green revolutions. I think we can do a better job of articulating the significance of the global impacts on social good. It's a great question. I think we need to do both, though. We need to be focused on our place and time, which is our state, because the taxpayers are supporting us. And the state of Illinois has everything you'd want. And then taking those best practices and deploying them through these strategic partners around the world. I'm hoping that the strategic plan will give us a direct mandate and approach that won't be being all things to all people at all times. That's how you dilute your impact. But we'll pick a few regions, perhaps. We have great strengths currently in Singapore and other specific places. And looking at how that could be, China is another place where Taiwan, I visited there. It's full of Illinois graduates who got their training at Urbana. So that's a whole playing field for us to do.
And the reason why I mentioned that is because if we try to figure out how to become more innovative to target a market and actually market in a way that encourages those global alumni to support us, we can get rid of the bills that we have and the problems that we occur financially.
Let me make two comments on that from this Davos-like meeting that I chaired several weeks ago. We had the president of the National University of Singapore, the president of the Hong Kong University of Science and Technology, Berkeley, Cambridge, a number of other places. The message we're getting out of China right now, and particularly out of Asia, is a warning about the very large enrollments of Chinese undergraduates on our campuses, largely as a result of the one-child, one-family approach and the rising middle class in China. But all of us, Michigan has 2,500, Michigan State has 3,500 Chinese, most of whom are undergraduates. They all drive Mercedes and BMWs, of course, because by driving them, they're used cars, and they can take them back to China without duty and sell them at 4 to 5 times the price. But the warning we're getting from you know, people that know the Chinese system well is, they are rapidly building world-class institutions that, you know, hopefully will capture those. But they're also getting kind of concerned about the students that attend our universities coming back with a different kind of ideas on freedom, speech, and so forth. And so that's something that could dry up very rapidly. And to some of my institutions, a bit out on the limb on that, and I think some of the University of Illinois may be as well. So we have to be sensitive to that. The other part is that the United States is very unusual in the tax benefits that it gives to charitable contributions. And that's something the rest of the world really hasn't learned yet. And so while Oxford and Cambridge, you know, are raising lots of money, they're raising lots of it in the United States. And so the philanthropy in other parts of the world, you know, is not nearly as developed. It will be at some point, but we've got to be cautious about over-dependence on that right now.